This chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word. Lord, we are taking time out to look into Your Word, Your truth, and we consider it to be the ultimate truth. Father, I pray that You would speak to us through Your Word this morning. Continue to encourage those moms. Lord, I pray that all of us would be encouraged by the example before us in the pages of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the situation had become extremely grim for the Hebrews that were living in Egypt. For many years, they had lived in favor with the pharaohs of Egypt because of their relationship to Joseph, the patriarch, who at one point was second in command in all of Egypt. And so the Hebrews lived in Egypt, enjoyed favor. But a few hundred years later, eventually, a pharaoh came into power in Egypt who didn't remember Joseph. And this pharaoh got very concerned about the large population of Hebrews in his land. He considered them to be a problem. They might rise up and take over or join forces with some other foreign nation and take control of Egypt. So he began treating the Hebrews extremely cruelly. He made the Hebrews his slave labor. They were responsible, all of them, the Hebrews, men, women, and children, to make bricks to build these cities for Pharaoh in Egypt. And Pharaoh thought that that might pause their population growth, but it didn't. They grew larger. So, Pharaoh next told some of the Hebrew midwives to kill male babies that are born to the Hebrew couples, but let the female babies live. Well, the Hebrew midwives, they wouldn't do that. And so eventually, this Pharaoh made a proclamation, a brand new law on the books, public, everyone would know. Any male child born to a Hebrew couple in the land of Egypt was to be thrown into the Nile River. The female babies would live. And so it was very, very tough at that time. Very scary situation for the Hebrews living in Egypt. There was a young Hebrew woman living at that time in Egypt. Her name was Jochebed. And she was married to a young Hebrew man by the name of Amram. And together they had already had a son by the name of Aaron, and they already had a daughter by the name of Miriam. But right in that very dangerous moment, she conceived and gave birth to a son in those very dangerous days. And I want you to see this morning how she handled that situation. How this courageous mother nurtured and protected this baby boy born to her at that time, who, by the way, was named Moses. It's a wonderful, wonderful story to consider on Mother's Day. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. And a man of the house of Levi, that's Amram, went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi, Jochebed. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" What a smart lady, huh? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother, Jochebed. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I'll give you wages." Now, how many of you would like to be paid for raising children? So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Moms, I want you to notice four things that this courageous mother did with her baby in this story. And please be encouraged by them, understand them, seek to model what she did. First, in this story, you see that Jochebed absolutely delighted in her newborn son. You can see that she just absolutely treasured him and was so thankful for his arrival. Look at verse 2. "So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child." So she took one look at her son, and she saw beauty. She saw something very, very special and precious about her son. Now, the scripture does say that Moses was a beautiful child. The Hebrew word here means extremely handsome. He was a cutie pie. He was a real special, special boy. In Hebrews chapter 11, it also makes note of that Moses was beautiful. The word used there means polished, elegant, lovely. This kid was something. He was a knockout. Now keep in mind that Moses wrote the book of Exodus, so he wrote this about himself, but we won't worry about that. But he was special. That kid was incredibly special to Mom. Mom knew that baby boy was treasure from heaven. She knew that he was God's gift to her. He was priceless. And keep in mind, that was not the most convenient pregnancy. In fact, the birth of Moses could not have come at a more inconvenient time. That was not a good time for having baby boys. They were marked for death. They were being thrown into the Nile River. But there came Moses. Oops! And she was not inconvenienced by him in the least. She loved him. She treasured him. She took that baby in her arms, looked in the eyes, and heard all those cute noises that babies make. This is treasure from heaven. Mother's Day. We need reminders. Moms, let me remind you. Because I know life gets very, very chaotic at times. And I know things can get very, very difficult. But please remember on Mother's Day that your kids are your greatest gifts. They are treasure from heaven to you. It says in Psalm 127, 3-4, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." Moms, don't forget, those kids are treasures from God to you. If you have children, you have treasure. They're more important gifts than anything else. Way more important than your career, your hobby, your Facebook account, your bank account. And may I remind you as a mom today to delight in your children. See the beauty in your children. Treasure them. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who's become a mom unexpectedly. It wasn't planned. Maybe not all that convenient for you. Please don't see them as an inconvenience, and don't ever give them any reason to think that they might be inconvenienced or a mistake. Treasure them. Perhaps you became a mother out of wedlock. There's no father in the picture. Or perhaps you're a single mother. And I know it can be very difficult and tough to go it alone. But don't ever forget, that child is a gift from God to you. Treasure that child. Perhaps you're a stepmother. The child in your home does not belong to you biologically, but you are the motherly figure now for that child. Treasure that child. Delight in that child. Moms, treasure your children with your love. Treasure your children with your words, with your hugs, with your kisses, with your time, with your energy. Delight in them. Kids need that. They need that security. And moms can bring security like that to their kids. It's just absolutely wonderful for a child to know that he's loved by mom and dad. This last Friday, just a few days ago, I was in Dallas with my son, Connor, in this treatment that we're dealing with his illness. We go every 2 months to Dallas to get a shot, a special shot for his circumstances. And so, business trip with Daddy on Friday. And I got to spend all day with him, you know, in the planes and in the airports and in the shuttle and in the rental car and in the doctor's office. And we hung out and we talked a lot. And I did something that I do often with him on Friday. I thoroughly embarrassed him. I thoroughly made him blush. I do this all the time with him and all my other kids. We were sitting on the bench in Grapevine in this beautiful downtown park waiting. And we spent some time listening to our iPods together, the new Newsboys album, you know, and we did that. But right in the middle of that, I took off his, you know, his headphones, and I grabbed him, and I looked at him, and I said, one of the greatest joys in my life is getting to be your daddy. You are the most important, one of the most important people in my life. There's a lot of things that I love to do in life, and I love to be a pastor and do various things, but my greatest joy is getting to be your daddy, Connor. And I love you, and I care about you, and I started kissing all over him in the park. Oh, Dad. You know, they may blush, they may get embarrassed, but they do light up. They light up. Kim and I very often sit our kids down and say, you are the most important people on this planet to us. We love you. You are a gift from God to us. Do you do that with your kids? Do it regularly. Delight in them and make sure they feel delighted in. Treasure them. That's what she did. Look what else she did. She hid Moses. Again in verse 2. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now why did she have to hide baby Moses? Because of the circumstances they were in, right? Male children born to Hebrew couple in those days marked for death. So she had to hide the fact that a new baby boy had been born into her household. Now, can you imagine trying to do that one? Can you imagine how stressful that must have been? Every knock on the door,
Every time somebody walking around the house, put Moses in the back. And I don't know if they had pacifiers back then, but if they did, use it. Don't let them cry out. And think about how they had to manage their job. They were still slaves. They had to go work and make bricks. How did they do that? How did they coordinate all that? For that matter, how did she hide her pregnancy? It was a very stressful time for her. Her son had been born into very dangerous times. But she did it. She hid him for as long as she possibly could for 3 months. That mother sheltered her baby. That mother protected her son, shielded her son, covered her son. That mother hid her son from any evil, wicked force that might bring danger to her son. Mom, that is one of our responsibilities, moms and dads as parents. We need to hide our children. Let me say that again. Moms and dads need to shelter their kids. Shield them. Cover them. Protect them from any evil, wicked forces that might seek to do them damage. And listen, Christian mother, listen carefully. The gates of hell, the forces of hell, want nothing good for your kids. Do you understand that? There is a battle and there is a war. Satan wants to destroy all lives, and he is no respecter of age. In fact, the sooner the better that Satan can destroy a person's life, that's the best for him. And I believe that Satan is coming after the children. The forces of hell have come against the youth. Moms and dads, hide them. Protect them. Shelter them. Cover them. Listen, there are wicked, evil, depraved influences that can come into your kid's life through the TV, through movies, through video games, through the internet, through music. Horrible, monstrous things can come into the lives of your kids through the media. I read recently that by the time the average child is 15 years old, he will have witnessed the violent destruction of more than 13,000 human beings on television. It has been thought that they don't watch violent and sexy TV programs aired after 9 o'clock at night, but psychologists have done studies on how late children watch TV. They have found that after 10:30 p.m., there are still some 5 million children under the age of 12 still watching television. Hey, if an Egyptian knocked on your door and was coming to drown your kid, what would you do? Hide the kid, right? What about all the other monsters that are coming into your home? Are you just going to let them come and enter your kid's head? Mom, monitor what your kids are watching. Monitor what they're digesting. Worldly destructive influences can come into the life of your child through peer pressure at school. Worldly destructive influences can come into the life of your child through what they're teaching them at school. Satan has won the battle of making it so that our public schools teach evolution as fact and creation as legend, myth, silly. Do you monitor what your kids are learning? Do you monitor who they're hanging out with? Do you guard them? Do you hide them? Do you protect them? And then there's the alcohol and drugs issue. More and more kids at younger ages are being exposed to that filth. Then there's the issues of sexuality out there. Mama, be a mama bear. Cover them. Shelter them. You know, kids are innocent, and I think we should work very, very hard to help kids keep their innocence for as long as possible. Amen? Keep those kids innocent. Don't allow those things to come in and corrupt them. Now, they will get older, they'll start interacting more with the world, and they'll begin to understand what's going on out there. Even then, Mom, shelter them. Protect them. Engage the kids. Be vigilant. Have good conversations about the issues of the day as they get older. Give them truth. Shield them. And then, by far, one of the greatest things that you can do as a mom to cover your kid is to pray for them all the time. Amen? Moms, shelter your kids in prayer. Hide them when you're in your prayer closet. Cover them. Pray regularly for them. Pray regularly with them. Pray with them before they go to school. Pray with them before they go to sleep. Kids that are grown and out of the house, cover them in prayer. That's probably the only way you have left now, to hide them, shelter. Lord, place a hedge around that boy. Cover that one. Hide that one. Cry out for the soul of that one. Prayer works. It's a beautiful story about Wesley Gustafson, who related that as a boy, his mother would never go to bed until he came home. Even if it were close to dawn, he would try to sneak quietly up the stairs, but he could see her light in her room, and he knew that she was praying for him. After he was in bed, quietly she would come into his room. He would peek from under the covers and pretend that he was sleeping. Sweetly and softly, she would call, "Wes," but he would not answer. Again, he would call, but he would not let her know that he heard. Then she would walk over to the window, and as he peeked out from under the covers, he would see her standing there. Then quietly, she would begin to pray, "Oh God, save my boy. Bring him to thyself. Open his heart to thy great love." Many years later, Wesley Gustafson said, "That memory will never leave me." Would it ever leave you? So what did Jochebed do with Moses? She hid him. She protected him. She sheltered him. Notice what else she did, and this is probably the most oddest detail. Verse 3. When she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Now that sounds odd. That almost sounds abusive and abandonment, right? She gets this little mini boat, little basket. She turns it into a boat. She puts pitch and asphalt in it, and then puts a little 3-month baby in that little boat and right into the Nile River. What in the world is going on? And moms, ever felt like doing that? Well, she did it. She was doing it for good reasons. Why did she do this? Some think that she knew what would happen, and that it was sort of prearranged. She knew that that's where Pharaoh's daughter bathed, and so she had Miriam stationed there and figured that that might happen. But, you know, the best we can say is she only knew that that could happen. She didn't know that it would happen. I think it's best to assume that I think the Lord directed her to do this. Somehow she found from the Lord put it on her heart. The Lord made it known that she was supposed to put her baby and just totally place that baby into the care of the Lord. Put him in the basket. Put him totally into the Lord's care. And so she did that. Now this ark that Moses was in, the same word is used of another boat that was built by another man. You know his name? Noah. And understand that the ark is one of the greatest symbols in all of Scripture. You know what the ark represents? Salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Just as Noah and his family were saved from the judgment of the flood by getting on the ark, and just as Moses was saved from death by being put in an ark, so those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are saved from judgment. God has sent His Son who came and died on the cross for the sins of the world. And if you place your faith in Jesus, then your sins are forgiven. And you no longer can experience the judgment of God. So it's salvation by faith. And that's how I want to apply that to us as moms today. Mom, make sure that you're placing your children in the ark. In other words, make sure that you're placing your children in the arms of Jesus Christ. Make sure that they are connected to Jesus. And the first order of business for any mom and any dad really should be to make sure that their child is saved. Do everything you can to bring your children to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That they would know the gospel. That they would understand why Jesus came. It's under the age of 20 that most people give their lives to Christ. Get them early. Get them young. And mom, don't assume that your kid is a born-again Christian just because you are. And because you're bringing them to church. Mom, you need to sit down and have that real discussion with your child about salvation. Place them in the arms of Jesus Christ. And then grow, nurture them. Train them up in the ways of the Lord. Jochebed, she got so many years with Moses, and I bet she just raised that kid in the ways of the Lord, didn't she? I can see her praying for Moses, praying with Moses, teaching him the Scriptures, singing to him. She knew she only had a fixed point of time, a fixed period with that boy, and she poured all of that energy into him. Moms, you have such a wonderful role in the life of your children. To teach them spiritual truth, to model for them spiritual truth. The four sons of Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, the well-known Bible teacher, became preachers. G. Campbell Morgan is one of my favorite Bible teachers. I read a lot of his stuff. Well, he had four sons that also became preachers. His youngest son, Howard, took his father's place in Great Britain. Well, one night, all of them were together, dad and all four preachers, and there was a visitor there. And the visitor asked one of the sons, which of the Morgan family was the greatest preacher? And Howard answered instantly as he looked his father straight in the eyes, my mother. I love it. What a wonderful tribute. Even though Dr. G. Campbell Morgan was the idol of many preachers of his day, the four sons of the Morgan family readily recognized the influence of their godly mother. A Spanish proverb says that an ounce of mother is worth a ton of clergy. I agree. Teach them, moms. Model for them the Christian life, the Christian faith, the Christian love. There is nothing like the example of a godly mother. I did come from a Christian home. My dad actually got saved when I was 7, but my mom had grown up and she was a Christian the whole time. And I got to tell you, as I look back on my childhood and on growing up, I'm very, very thankful for the fact that everyone in my family was a Christian. But it was my mom who was really, really the solid one. She was the consistent one, I'm telling you. My dad could be a little whoop, woo, whoop. I could be a little that way. My brother Rusty could be that way. But you know what? Mom was laser beam, just solid. Solid, solid. She's the one praying. She's the one serving. She's the one loving. She's the one modeling. You moms, are used so mightily by the Lord. On one Mother's Day, a minister said this, "My mother practices what I preach." When Robert Ingersoll, the notorious skeptic, was in his heyday, two college students went to hear him lecture. And as they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, "Well, I guess he knocked the props out from under Christianity, didn't he?" And the other said, "No, I don't think he did. Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God." Teach them the way of salvation. Get with them. Pray for them. Model them. Model the Christian life for them. And all of this, Mom, all of this, Mom, not to just teach your kids some tradition or religion. No, 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 no. To get your kid in a personal, vibrant, alive relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we want. So don't just bring them to church every week and say, "That's fine, we're bringing them to church." Bring them to church. Tell them, "We're going to church to meet with Jesus. We serve Him. He's alive." Delight in your child. Hide your child. Place your child in the arms of Jesus Christ. Put him in the ark. And then there's a fourth thing. And I think this is probably one of the hardest things for us to do as parents, moms and dads both. You also see this mother releasing her child. Literally, letting him go. Launching him. You see her actually do it twice in the story. First, obviously, putting him in a little boat and just sort of launching him out into the river. That's letting the child go, but look what she has to do in verse 10. "And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" So she's with her child. She has him for this fixed period of time. He grows into a young man, and then as he grows up, she has to go over and deliver him to Pharaoh's daughter. Release him. Let him go. His wings, let him fly. She had to release him. She had to launch him. She had to let him go. Moms, dads, there comes a time when we need to do that with our kids. And it's scary, isn't it? In fact, that might be the hardest thing that we can do as moms and dads, is to let our children go. Why? We love them so much. We've poured our lives into them and we want to control. We don't want anything bad to happen to them. We want to shield them for life. But I have found that in raising children, there's a series of times where you have to literally just let them go. When my firstborn was born, Lindsay, I couldn't sleep for the first 6 months. Part of that was her fault. But part of it was my fault. You see, I was scared. I was so worried about SIDS. first-time dad, and I was so worried that, is she breathing? Is she breathing? And I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, I can't hear anything on the monitor. Every hour or two, I'd get in, and I'd run, and I'd look to see her crib, and she's not moving. I rest my hand on it. Oh, she is moving. Okay, she's asleep. But I had to stop doing that because I'm grumpy when I don't get sleep. And Kim was getting upset. And I remember, you know what I actually literally had to do as a dad? I had to put Lindsay in that ark. I had to say, Lord, I'm doing everything I can with this beautiful little girl. I'll do everything I possibly can. But after I've done that, this little life is yours. Many of you know that we've been having those health issues with my son, Connor. And in fact, we are so rejoicing this Mother's Day. Last Mother's Day, we weren't in church because we were in the hospital with our son. And he went through all these issues. And, you know, it's been a long journey this last year. And there have been times where we're trying everything we can. We're pulling our hair out. We're talking to so many different people. And you finally get to the point where you've done everything you can. Just put that kid in the ark. Release. Connor belongs to Jesus Christ. Some of you have kids now that are about to start driving. I don't envy your position at all. I know when that happens in my life, I'm going to be a basket case. Especially when Dylan gets keys. I'm going to call the neighborhood and warn people. But again, there's that releasing, isn't there? Some of you have had kids grow up and they're leaving the nest. Very, very hard to release them, but we need to. Some of you parents have grown-up children, and you're very, very worried about them. They're not walking with the Lord. They're making foolish situations. And maybe you're here today, and you feel extremely guilty, and you think, did I do things right or wrong when I was raising them? Listen, don't play that. Just release that kid. Release that young man. Release that daughter into the arms of Jesus Christ. Pray for them. Do whatever you possibly can. But release them. Delight in your kids. Hide them. Release them. And place them in the arms of Jesus Christ. Very, very good words. Very, very good example from this mother. Now, we talked a lot about what Jochebed did in this story, but did you notice all that God did? Isn't it awesome what God does in this story? Look at the providence. Look at the hand of God. I mean, for 3 months, they're able to hide baby Moses. Apparently, Moses didn't cry. And then they place baby Moses in the ark, and Pharaoh's daughter, I'll get it right, finds that ark. And then, when she opens the basket to look in, baby Moses, who apparently hasn't cried for 3 months, on cue, cries out with probably the most wonderful cry ever. A cry that just penetrated the heart of that woman. He said, I will protect and save. And then, Miriam happens to be there. And then, Jochebed gets to raise her own son, Moses, in absolute openness, full security, and gets paid to boot. God is all over that story. God is all over that story. And you know what, Mom? God will be all over your life and the life of your children and in the life of your family. If you'll do things the right way, if you'll trust Him, if you'll seek to raise your kids in the ways of the Lord, He will work providentially. I believe in providence. And I believe that if you commit to begin working to raise your child in a godly way, you will see His hand. You will see Him begin to orchestrate the events of your life. Will you do that? Mom, I want to close by saying that you can't give to your child what you don't have. You can't give faith to your child if you don't have it. You can't bring your child to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ if you're not saved. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to make that decision on Mother's Day to receive Christ, to receive the gospel. Christ was sent, God's only Son, to die on the cross for your sins and to rise again the third day. And the Scripture says, if you will place your faith in Him, it's like getting on the ark. It's being delivered from judgment. And you become a born-again child of God. You enter into a relationship with God. And you are given the power of God to be the best man or woman that you can be. Dads, you also play a very, very important role in the upbringing of your children, obviously. And they need dads. Your children need dads that love Jesus. Maybe some of you have done your wife a favor. You usually don't go to church, but it's Mother's Day. Okay, I'll go. Consider this a divine appointment. God needs to get a hold of your life. We talk a lot about God being our Heavenly Father and His love like a father. Well, I think His love is also like a mother, too. Listen, God loves you. He delights in you. You're the apple of His eye. God wants to hide you and protect you and shelter you. God wants to give you salvation. God wants to launch you out. Release you into a life of adventure and meaning and satisfaction. Let's bow our heads and we'll close our eyes and we'll finish this. Oh, sweet Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the wonderful examples we find in Your Word. We thank You for the courage that this mom showed. We thank You for the work You did in their lives. Lord, I want to pray also for the moms here this morning once again, that You would empower them for the job that they have, the task that they have. Lord, protect the children. Help us to be wise in raising up these gifts that You've given us. Lord, I do want to pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't know You, who hasn't come into a relationship with You. And maybe you're here this morning and you know that that's exactly what you need to do. You need the help of God in your life, and you don't feel like you have it. Well, you need to be born again. Scripture says you get saved by faith in Jesus Christ. You simply place your faith in Him. Admit that you're a sinner and that He died on the cross for you and rose again. And you ask Him to be your Savior. Is there anybody here this morning that needs to say that prayer? I'll lead you in a prayer right now where you're seated. But indicate that to me. Show me. Raise your hand up high so I can see it. Say, Pastor Terry, that's me. I need to say that prayer. I need to receive Christ this morning. Anybody need to make that very important decision this morning? You have an opportunity to do that right now. And Father, by your Spirit, equip us for the task ahead. Equip us by your Spirit to parent children. Equip us by your Spirit to reach out to grown children. Help us, Lord. Give us discernment. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live for you no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. In Jesus' name, amen.